Chapter 4. The Arrival of the Golden Snitch. From the early 1100s, snidget hunting had been popular among many witches and wizards. The golden snidget, see Figure B, is today a protected species. But at that time, golden snidgets were common in Northern Europe, though difficult to detect by muggles because of their aptitude at hiding and their very great speed. The diminutive size of the snidget, coupled with its remarkable agility in the air and talent at avoiding predators, merely added to the prestige of wizards who caught them. A 12th century tapestry, preserved in the Museum of Quidditch, shows a group setting out to catch a snidget. In the first portion of the tapestry, some hunters carry nets, others use wands, and still others attempt to catch the snidget with their bare hands. The tapestry reveals the fact that the snidget was often crushed by its captor. In the final portion of the tapestry, we see the wizard who caught the snidget being presented with a bag of gold. Snidget hunting was reprehensible in many ways. Every right-minded wizard must deplore the destruction of these peace-loving little birds in the name of sport. Moreover, snidget hunting, which was usually undertaken in broad daylight, led to more muggle broomstick sightings than any other pursuit. The Wizards' Council of the time, however, was unable to curb the sport's popularity. Indeed, it appears that the council itself saw little wrong with it, as we shall see. Snidget hunting finally crossed paths with Quidditch in 1269, at a game attended by the chief of the Wizards' Council himself, Barbarous Bragg. We know this because of the eyewitness account sent by Madame Modesty Rabnott of Kent to her sister Prudence in Aberdeen. This letter is also on display in the Museum of Quidditch. According to Madame Rabnott, Bragg brought a caged snidget to the match and told the assembled players that he would award 150 galleons to the player who caught it during the course of the game. Footnote: equivalent to over 1 million galleons today. Whether Chief Bragg intended to pay or not is a moot point. End of footnote. Madame Rabnott explains what happens next.
The players rose as one into the air, ignoring the quaffle and dodging the blooders. Both keepers abandoned the goal baskets and joined the hunt. The poor little snidget shot up and down the pitch, seeking a means of escape. But the wizards in the crowd forced it back with repelling spells. Well, Prue, you know how I am about snidget hunting, and what I get like when my temper goes. I ran onto the pitch and screamed, "Chief Bragg, this is not sport! Let the snidget go free, and let us watch the noble game of Quidditch, which we have all come to see." If you'll believe me, Prue, all the brute did was laugh and throw the empty birdcage at me. Well, I saw red, Prue, I really did. When the poor little snidget flew my way, I did a summoning charm. You know how good my summoning charms are, Prue. Of course, it was easier for me to aim properly, not being mounted on a broomstick at the time. The little bird came zooming into my hand. I stuffed it down the front of my robes and ran like fury. Well, they caught me, but not before I got out of the crowds and released the snidget. Chief Bragg was very angry, and for a moment I thought I'd end up a horned toad, or worse. But luckily his advisers calmed him down, and I was only fined 10 galleons for disrupting the game. Of course, I've never had 10 galleons in my life, so that's the old home gone. I'll be coming to live with you shortly. Luckily, they didn't take the hippogriff. And I'll tell you this, Prue. Chief Bragg would have lost my vote if I'd had one. Your loving sister, Modesty.
Madame Rabnott's brave action might have saved one snidget, but she could not save them all. Chief Bragg's idea had forever changed the nature of Quidditch. Golden snidgets were soon being released during all Quidditch games. One player on each team, the hunter, having the sole task of catching it. When the bird was killed, the game was over, and the hunter's team was awarded an extra 150 points. in memory of the 150 galleons promised by Chief Bragg. The crowd undertook to keep the Snidget on the pitch by using the repelling spells mentioned by Madame Rabnot. By the middle of the following century, however, Golden Snidget numbers had fallen so low that the Wizards' Council, now headed by the considerably more enlightened Elfrieda Clagg, made the Golden Snidget a protected species, outlawing both its killing and its use in Quidditch games. The Modesty Rabnot Snidget Reservation was founded in Somerset, and a substitute for the bird was frantically sought to enable the game of Quidditch to proceed. The invention of the Golden Snitch is credited to the wizard Bowman Wright of Godric's Hollow. While Quidditch teams all over the country tried to find bird substitutes for the Snidget, Wright, who was a skilled metal charmer, set himself to the task of creating a ball that mimicked the behavior and flight patterns of the Snidget. That he succeeded perfectly is clear from the many rolls of parchment he left behind him on his death, now in the possession of a private collector, listing the orders that he had received from all over the country. The Golden Snitch, as Bowman called his invention, was a walnut-sized ball exactly the weight of a Snidget. Its silvery wings had rotational joints like the Snidget's, enabling it to change direction with the lightning speed and precision of its living model. Unlike the Snidget, however, the Snitch had been bewitched to remain within the boundaries of the field. The introduction of the Golden Snitch may be said to have finished the process begun 300 years before on Quidditch Marsh. Quidditch had been truly born.